95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Welcome to Her Story. I'm your host, Kathy Romano. My next guest is an orthopedic surgeon at Philadelphia Hand to Shoulder Center. Dr. Stephanie Sweet treats conditions, injuries, and diseases affecting hands, wrists, arms, and elbows. And Dr. Sweet is here today to share her story with us. Hi, Dr. Sweet. Thanks for coming by.
Hi, good morning.
What was your educational and career path that eventually brought you to Philadelphia? You're not from the area, are you?
I am not. I'm born and bred New Yorker. I grew up on Long Island, and I disappeared for 4 years to go to college at Harvard. And then I came back to New York, and I actually came to medical school there. And I spent 10 years in medical education, first in medical school, and then went for an internship in orthopedic surgery residency. And then I finally came back to Philadelphia here to do a hand and upper extremity fellowship. After orthopedics, I decided that hand and upper extremity was my passion, and I wanted to specialize. So I took an additional year in training. And I trained here with the hand center at the time. And then I decided to stay on. And I've been here 18, 19 years now, practicing hand and upper extremity surgery as part of this group.
Where are you from in Long Island?
Okay. On the South Shore.
My family is in Merrick.
Oh, very close.
Merrick and Point Lookout.
Very, very close.
Every summer I vacation in Montauk. Have you ever been there?
I have been. But Atlantic Beach beaches are just as good as Montauk.
Really?
And as beautiful as Hawaii.
Really?
Yes.
I've never been there. Okay, so now I have. If you are comparing it to Hawaii, I've got to go there. Your practice is affiliated with Jefferson, correct?
Yes. We are a private practice. We have strong academic ties to Jefferson. We operate through the Jefferson facilities. And we also have a hand and upper extremity fellowship that is associated with Jefferson, where we train and teach 7 or 8 hand fellows a year.
So talk a little bit about exactly what you do.
Sure. I do everything in the hand, wrist, and elbow that relates to either nerves or tendons or arteries, veins, fractures, arthritis, carpal tunnel, trigger fingers. So anything you can imagine that would pertain to any of those body parts is what I treat. Some of the things we treat are things like people have arthritis or degenerative conditions, or they have numbness and tingling or carpal tunnel. But we also do a fair amount of trauma at our center, where we'll have people come in with table saw injuries or artery injuries.
Oh, wow.
Or nerve injuries. And we do not only the primary repairs of those structures, but we also do the reconstructive surgery later if people need additional fancier surgeries, tendon transfers, more reconstructions, things to restore function as a second stage. We do a lot of that as well.
What attracted you to being a hand surgeon? You called it your passion.
Hand and upper extremity surgery has everything about orthopedics on a finer, more gentler scale, if you will. So I love fixing bones and fractures and all those fun things. But when we do it in the hand, we do it on a very delicate scale. Everything's smaller. Everything's finer. There's less of a field and a space. Plus, in hand and upper extremity surgery, which is additional over orthopedics, you get to do all the nerve and artery and tendon reconstruction that basic orthopedics usually don't cover. So I really enjoy tendon transfers and nerve transfers and nerve reconstruction and kind of building the scaffold over and above what you already have, especially when you have an injury where you end up with a deficit. We try to give that back and then some.
What's the most common problem you see in patients when they come into your office?
So there's a lot, but, you know, things people will be familiar with, people like carpal tunnel and trigger finger and tendonitis issues. Those are very, very common problems that we see. We see a lot of people with hand arthritis on the non-trauma side. And then on the trauma side, we see a lot of people with table saw injuries, knife injuries. In New York, it was always cutting a bagel and then slicing your tendon.
Best bagels ever.
Here, you don't have to cut the Philly pretzels. So we don't see pretzel injuries, but we did see a lot of bagel injuries in New York.
What's trigger finger?
Trigger finger is a type of tendonitis where the finger will snap and click and lock. And sometimes people will have to either pry it open or click it open. And we have remedies for that, both surgical and non-surgical.
I'm pretty sure I got carpal tunnel from holding my cell phone in one hand.
It's interesting. It probably doesn't cause carpal tunnel, but a lot of people feel symptoms when they talk on the phone or when they drive or when they grip. So there's something about the position of the wrist that contributes. And holding your phone, if you think about it, you're holding tightly, gripping with your fingers, and you're bending your wrist down a little bit. So a lot of people will feel symptoms when they talk on the phone.
I actually changed the way I held the phone and I texted because it was hurting. So I actually completely changed the way I was holding my phone to try to get the pain to go away.
Did it help?
It did help. Yeah.
And you probably straightened out your wrist some and had less of a grip to do that. And that's probably why it helped, because position does help some of those symptoms, even if it doesn't cure the disease.
What's the most important thing we should know about our hands, wrists, arms, and keeping them working as they should?
First of all, be aware of the symptoms. A lot of these things that people come in, they think, oh, I just had to live with it. I'm just getting older. We have solutions for most everything you have. And if we don't, we'll tell you. But there are things to do proactively to try to prevent you from getting worse in certain cases, and also to fix things that you already come in with. So you need to be aware of the symptoms. If your hand is falling asleep every night and it's waking you out of your sleep, you don't have to live with that. Come on in and we'll take a look, and we have certain tests that we do, and we probably can help.
Oh my gosh, that scares me so much when your hand falls asleep while you're sleeping and you wake up. Like, to me, I'm like, how long was it like that? Was there a blood supply to it? Am I going to be able to move my hand again?
Yeah, it's more the nerve than the blood supply. And okay. A lot of people come in, they say, I have to shake my hand to wake at night or hold it over the bed. Very, very common sign of carpal tunnel syndrome.
So, okay, I get that all the time.
Sure. Then you would want to come in and you would get evaluated. We have special nerve testing that we do. We do a physical exam. We take some x-rays, see if you have any arthritis or other issues. And then we can treat you based on what you need. Sometimes it's as simple as a splint. It's not always surgery. But if the carpal tunnel is severe and you're getting muscle damage and wasting of your muscles, then we might want to intervene surgically.
Could it be injuring my arm and hand when this is happening at night?
Sure. So it can, and it usually builds up over time. So it's not like if you ignore it for one night, it's going to be an ongoing problem. It's like when you sit on your leg and it falls asleep, you get up and it's fine. It's not damaged. But if you keep letting things fall asleep and you don't look at it or address it, over time, it can lead to weakness and atrophy of the muscles. And that is causing damage.
All right. So now this is like my free doctor's appointment. Okay. So now let me ask you. It happens a lot, but almost in waves. A week in a row, it'll happen every night, but then it's not going to happen to me again for a month. And recently, it's been happening to me again. Every night, my hand or arm has been falling asleep. So is that normal for it to go like in waves like that?
It can. It usually doesn't go away. It can flare up and then calm down and get quiet. Sometimes the simplest thing to do is to try a nighttime brace, then keep your wrist straight at night. And it may help a lot in terms of getting some sleep. But if that isn't working, you definitely want to come in.
Okay, so if people want to make an appointment with you, how can they do that?
Sure. So we have an 800 number. It's 1-800-385-7472. And that's how you call. And we have a central scheduler and they can schedule. We have, oh goodness, about 17 offices, give or take a few, in all different areas in Philly and in the suburbs and in New Jersey. And you can call that central number and make an appointment in any of those offices with any of our doctors. And I particularly go to certain offices in Willow Grove and King of Prussia and Center City, but our central scheduler knows all of that.
What do you do for fun?
I run. I have a great family. I have 4 kids total, 2 of my own, 2 stepkids, and 2 are graduating college, and 1 is 13 and 1 is 15, so I got my hands full there.
Do you travel at all?
Mostly family trips. I don't know if you've ever heard of Backroads. It's a great way to be active and outdoors. And so you can go to Switzerland or Canada or anywhere across the world, and you go with a group of families, and it's about 30 people, and it's all biking and hiking. So we've done 3 of those trips where you go, and by day you're outside and in Switzerland, walking around with the girls with the yellow hair, yodeling, and then at night you sleep in a hotel, and it's a beautiful way to see a country.
Wow, and so do you essentially have a guide the entire time?
Yes, there's usually 2 or 3, and there's 2 vans, so they'll rack your bikes for you, and then you bike all day, and then they'll put them up at night, and It's a really great way to travel and be active and outdoors as opposed to being in a tour bus.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I love that.
It's great, yeah.
How old were your kids when you did that?
So when we first started taking them, not on the active tours, my youngest was 5, and that was challenging for her to go through Italy as a 5-year-old. When we switched to the active, they were over 10. So I think a good age is over 10.
Okay. My son's 7, so I was wondering if maybe we could pull that off or maybe wait a few years.
Yeah, I think 10 is...
Perfect, is a good age.
Because they can bike and they feel confident and they're not behind the group.
So you gave out the 1-800 number, but if people want to find out more information about the center, what's the website?
Sure. So the name of the practice is Philadelphia Hand to Shoulder Center, and it's handtoshouldercenter.com.
And the number 2.
It's the number 2. It's hand and then the number 2, shouldercenter.com.
Great. Dr. Sweet, thank you so much for coming by.
My pleasure. It was great to do this. It's something new for me. So,
is this your first radio interview?
First radio.
All right.
I speak a lot, though. I do a lot of public speaking and lectures and presentations, but it's usually to a medical community.
Sure.
So it's nice to talk to everybody else.
Well, good. Thank you for coming by. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
If you'd like to find out more information about Dr. Sweet or Philadelphia Hand to Shoulder Center, like Dr. Sweet said, you can go to hand2shouldercenter.com.
This is Her Story with Kathy Romano on 95.7 Ben FM.
My next guest has been on Her Story a number of times, but hasn't been back in a while, so I'm glad that she made time to visit us today. Alisa Frederico, style director at Dressing Jane and regularly seen on Fox 29, is here today to chat about winter fashion and what to look for this spring as well. Alisa, thanks for coming by again.
Hey, Kathy. Thanks for having me.
For people who aren't familiar with you, explain a little bit about Dressing Jane and why you created it.
So Dressing Jane is my company. It's a styling business. I have personal clients that I help wardrobe. I either do event dress, seasonal overhaul, you name it, anything fashion related. I created Dressing Jane because I was really wanting to help the everyday girl, the people who love fashion, but sometimes just need a little inspiration or a couple tips or how to do it or how to mix high-low pieces, how to wardrobe. It just, to me, I wanted to help people who aren't so fashion forward but want to be in step with fashion. A little guidance, a little help, a couple tips, what's best, what's not. And again, the one thing I will say about Dressing Jane is my personal mantra on getting dresses, it doesn't have to be designer. It has to be true to you, and it can be high-low. And what does high-low mean, you might be asking, is, you know, it could be a t-shirt from Target with great jeans and expensive shoes and a great blazer, something of that nature, but just mixing the price points and the brands and labels. A little effort goes a long way.
A lot of the people that you style are on Fox 29.
Yes, I do work with a lot, not everyone, but a lot of their on-air talent. I actually do shop for them, find dresses that are good for work. I teach them how to accessorize.
And then you'll do special events too.
Of course, absolutely. I do that actually for everyone that's a client of mine. If there's a black tie affair, red carpet stuff, anything like that, I get everybody looking perfect from top to bottom.
And what I love about you is that you seem to know what the trend is before it actually gets here, before it's actually mainstreamed. And Alex Holly from Fox 29 went to an event and she wore this gorgeous gold dress. And then we saw Regina King. It was the exact same dress.
Basically, it was the exact same dress. And it's very funny because it was a one shoulder, beautiful metallic dress that I put her in actually this time last year. And Regina King had that same exact look on at the Oscars.
Did you do a side by side?
I did a side by side. I was like, see, we did it first. Trust Dressing Jane.
Exactly. And you can trust Dressing Jane because she does know what she's talking about. So it's freezing this week. And a lot of people, including myself, just pile the clothes on just to stay warm. Give us some tips on how we can stay warm but still look fashionable.
I think that that's a problem because people think, oh my God, I have to pile on a big sweater and this and that and all these layers. And it doesn't have to be just like that. I think first and foremost, one of the things that I love the most, which a lot of people, including Jen Fred, if you're listening right now, loves to make fun of me for wearing hats. I always have a hat on. But if we know anything, warming your head is the key to staying warm in your whole body. Did you know that?
Yes, the rest of your body will be warm if your head is warm.
100%. So like, I'm always in a hat. I just love hats. I will say that in addition to wearing a hat, and use a hat like an accessory, you don't have to take it off when you go inside. I make it part of my outfit. I don't check it in with my coat. You know what I mean?
And what type of hat?
I love all types of hats, like slouchy beanies, little knit hats. You can do a pom-pom. Like, it doesn't have, not like a big structured hat. It needs to be like a warm knit hat.
Something that's going to actually keep you warm.
Yeah. And the way that I wear it, and it's so funny because on Good Day Weekend, you'll see a momologue that I'm teaching Jen how to wear these hats.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It'll be on this morning. Yeah.
What time this morning?
I think it's on at 8:30.
So 8:30 on Fox 29.
Yep. On Good Day Weekend, you'll see momologue. And if not, you can, it'll be up on their webpage.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. And people can learn how to wear a hat.
Because that was the biggest struggle too, is trying to wear these beanies. Are you wearing it right? Some people pull them down too far. They're covering their eyebrows. So I'm showing Jen how to wear a few different silhouettes the right way.
You worked for Urban Outfitters for a number of years, and part of your job responsibility there was to develop their shoe line. So your experience in the shoe fashion, what are the winter shoes that people should be wearing to look in style and up to date?
I think what I feel good about this winter is the fact that what would have been considered almost like a combat booty before now has gotten a heel on it. So it looks like a block heel lace up, you know, not as rugged as a combat boot. It's a little more streamlined, but it's still super comfortable. The block heel is great because you can run around in it. You don't look ridiculous wearing a block heel during the day, so you can do it day or night. Super comfy, and a lot of them are fleece lined. And I love showing them that you can dress them up, wear tights with them, little skirts, jeans, whatever it is. But it's a good option to look fashion forward, but also stay comfortable and warm.
And where can people buy that? They're carrying that all over the place.
Yeah, they're carrying it all over the place. When I started talking about winter and fall fashion this year, I showed a lot of stuff from, you know, ranging from Bloomingdale's down to Forever 21 to Target. I mean, they're available. The silhouette is available on all different price points, just depending what your budget is.
Although we're bundled up today, spring is right around the corner and we're seeing the spring clothes in the stores now. What's at the top of your list for when the weather starts to warm up just a bit?
So I think a couple of things that we'll be seeing, and I'll just highlight them quickly. One that feels really fresh and new that we haven't seen a ton of this year is neon. It's making a serious comeback. And the past two seasons, I would say, in spring fashion, we saw a lot of vibrant hues, really like bright reds and even into fuchsias. But now we're taking it a step further and we're really going hardcore neons. Like, you're going to see the yellows and the greens and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes, you know, an intimidating trend or color for people to wear. So I like to tell people, if you want to be involved, either look for a small accessory, maybe, you know, like a hot pink purse or a green, and pair it back with neutral colors. The more fashion forward people, you're going to see them really styling it neon on neon, like, you know, a hot pink shirt with a neon green pants or something of that nature. But that's not really for everyone. So if you want to be part of the trend, I would suggest pairing it back with neutrals, or even, like I said, grabbing an accessory in those neon colors.
Listen, I'm a kid of the 80s. I can go there.
Well, you know what? That's the problem with the neon trend, too, is that sometimes, like, for our age bracket or a little older, we remember it in that very 80s way. So it is not, the idea of wearing neon is not to look like it's 1986. It's to make it current and relevant. And it, you know, how you're kind of styling that is super important to making it look fresh.
And not like we're still stuck in the 80s.
Totally.
Although that was fun.
I mean, let's have a costume party for that. If you know me, put on some roller skates and a unitard and, like, I'm there.
You're in.
I'm in.
All right. So what else?
Another thing. So we've seen coming out of fall, winter, tons of sequins. And the sequins that we've seen are more of what I like to call mermaid sequins. They're kind of the traditional round sequins. You can brush them up and down. Sometimes they're different colors. You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. We had a Pollyanna for the holiday down the hall, and Casey got Nick Murphy a pillow. And when you pushed the sequin up, it was a picture of Casey.
That is hilarious, first of all. But yeah, so sequins of that nature, we saw them through fall, through holiday, tons of sequin dressing for holiday. What we're going to see now, it's going to continue into spring, but what I like to say is that the sequins are getting more delicate. So they'll be smaller, they'll be more spaced out. It won't be so aggressive the way that we wear them during the holiday. You'll see more intricate detailing, softer pastel colors, but sequins are still going to be big for spring, just in a different way.
And that's how you'll see the difference from the holiday sequin.
Absolutely.
All right, so what's third on your list?
Also, what's feeling really fresh right now is puffed sleeves. And we've been talking about sleeve detail for seasons at this point. It's been cold shoulder, one shoulder, bare shoulders. Like, we've just had a lot of shoulder detail. Now we're really seeing that we're covering up the shoulder. So puff sleeves, I'm just giving like a general term like that, because we're going to see really a lot of detailing. Think of like almost like Victorian costuming.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like it's going to get as elaborate as that. Again, you know, some people aren't into, based on your body, I think your body type, some people, if you have wider shoulders, they get a little nervous with this kind of trend just because it does, you know, make you look a little wider. But my key for that is find things that have vertical stripes, like patterns. Like, I wear a lot of vertical stripe, like.
And it'll slim you down?
Yeah. Gives the illusion it draws your eye from top to bottom instead of from side to side.
And I think once before you gave us a tip that the vertical stripes should only be a certain width.
It's like a finger space. If your body shape is a little bit more on the wider side, or you do feel like self-conscious, you should, we call it a finger space. So put your finger in between the stripes. That's the best width for you. For slimming. Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Okay, what else do you have on the list?
So another thing, we've seen tons of pleating detail coming out of fall of this past year also. And the pleats that we saw, you know, think of those traditional pleated skirts. Those were considered knife pleats. So what happens a lot of times with the trends is you see them, they take a little while to evolve, and then they evolve further into the detailing. So the pleating that we're going to start seeing in spring, summer is really, really intricate. I call them crystal pleats. They're super delicate. They're sewn and folded over on each other in a really elaborate way versus that traditional knife pleat. They're just very basic and beautiful. They give great movement. So you're still going to see that, but you're going to see that trend really evolve.
Okay.
And you'll see it all over. It'll be skirts. It'll be shirt details, like really beautiful, beautiful stuff.
And we can find this stuff in the stores now?
So really, it's starting to sprinkle in now. What you see in this time period, a lot of the retailers are clearing out. They're in clearance mode, getting rid of that fall winter that's sitting on the floor. And we call this resort. It's like pre-spring almost. It's little capsules, little sprinkles here and there. So you'll start to see, like, you'll see a little pops of neon florals, like, but it'll be very small right now. And then in the next, probably, I would say, 2 or so months is when you'll really start seeing the spring deliveries hitting the floor.
Okay. And before you go, you have one more spring fashion tip.
Yes. So we are going to be on the lookout for what I'm calling sensible shorts. Coming out of last spring.
Booty shorts.
Oh, boy.
No.
No. No, but think about this trend. If you remember, like, the Kardashians were wearing biker shorts. And I'm not talking about, like, shorty biker shorts, but they were wearing knee-length bikers with tees and blazers. And that was really a strong look in the shorting category for last spring. I'm happy to report that that is not the only short that's going to be around. Right now, we're talking about for spring, really great fitting shorts, you know, that utilitarian look, like they don't have to be super tight, super comfortable, cotton, all types of different materials. But I just feel like it's good to know that shorts are making a comeback, like real shorts, like I said, sensible shorts that every person besides like the Kardashians
can wear.
Can wear, yeah. So I think shorts are going to be a big play for spring.
Okay, so for spring, but it's still a little chilly. So how are you wearing them?
For me, I never stop wearing shorts. I've always been a shorts girl. I like to layer tights underneath them. Like I have little leather shorts. I have all types of different shorts. But if you take a cool like pattern tight, you can easily wear them now. And then into spring as well without tights.
Okay, great.
And one last thing I do want to mention, Kathy, that is still going to be on board for spring is florals. We love florals. We've seen them for seasons. But the difference this season is going to be that the florals are getting smaller. They're more like micro florals, whereas last season we saw more of like those bigger exploded maxi print florals. And I feel like this is going to be a little more delicate and feminine.
What's the one bit of fashion advice that you can give our listeners that stands out across the board no matter what season it is?
I think the one piece of advice that I love to give to everyone I work with, your listeners, my clients, whoever it is dress for your body type. We are all not built the same. Every trend is not for every person. And I think if you embrace what works best on you, that could be a shape, a color, I think that that pulls off an outfit the best that it can absolutely be.
You always give free styling tips on your Instagram page. Where can people find you on Instagram?
So you can find me on Instagram at @dressing_Jane. You can find me at dressingjane.com, or I hope that you'll watch my fashion segments on Good Day Philadelphia.
And when will you be on next? Well, you're on today.
Well, I'll be on today, and then I'll be on again probably next Monday.
And do you have any fashion shows or events coming up that people can come out and actually see your styling?
Yeah, I'll be posting on my Instagram. I'm going to have a big spring. We're going to do a great show at Bloomingdale's, King of Prussia, and Willow Grove probably around March. I definitely have some things going on. If you follow along at @dressing_Jane, you will get your invite.
Alisa, thank you so much for coming by. You always have the best fashion tips.
Oh, Kathy, thanks for having me.
Now we can dress more fashionable for the rest of the winter and the upcoming spring. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I'm Kathy Romano. Have a great rest of your Sunday.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.